Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. You know, a lot of people are wondering, wow, okay, great. We definitely need a safe capital city, but what about our towns, Mr. President? Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. We have a jam-packed show for you today. A lot going on. President Trump holding a morning press conference where he announced that he is now taking control of the Washington, D.C. Police Department. He is now federalizing the police department. He has also deployed the National Guard to the streets of Washington, D.C., and he is ready to crack down on crime in our nation's capital. And this is going to be a pretty significant thing that's happening. The president referencing other cities around the nation that are also dealing with this insane crime, New York City, Los Angeles, Chicago. What I find interesting is that there were the crime is actually worse in places like St. Louis and Memphis. Memphis, of course, being the deadliest city in America. But the White House is turning a blind eye right now to the out-of-control crime in red states. He seems to be focused right now on the blue states, and I think that is a bad move. I don't know who's giving the president advice or guidance, but it seems to me, and again, I've got no problems with getting Washington, D.C. under control. I've got no problem with that. But to stand up there in front of the entire country when Memphis, Tennessee is dealing with the most violent crime in the nation and not even to say anything about it, that's sort of heartbreaking, to be perfectly honest with you. But again, this is a problem when and again, this is really not about public safety for a lot of people in the administration. This is about scoring political points. And they know they can score political points if they announce they're going to crack down and get tough on crime. And I really hope they do. And I hope that I wish nothing but the best for the good people of Washington, D.C. But what about the rest of us? That's what I want to know. I remember, several months back, I was in Washington at the White House, and the Border Czar, Tom Homan, told me that he was on his way to Memphis, and we're still waiting. We have a gift basket for him when he gets here. So the president making a lot of news today, and we're going to play a lot of audio from the president's press conference. Let's start with cut number 11, please.
I'm announcing a historic action to rescue our nation's capital from crime, bloodshed, bedlam, and squalor, and worse. This is Liberation Day in D.C., and we're going to take our capital back. We're taking it back under the authorities vested in me as the President of the United States. I'm officially invoking Section 740 of the District of Columbia Home Rule Act. You know what that is? And placing the D.C. Metropolitan Police Department under direct federal control, and you'll be meeting the people that will be directly involved with that. Very good people, but they're tough, and they know what's happening, and they've done it before. In addition, I'm deploying the National Guard to help reestablish law, order, and public safety in Washington, D.C., and they're going to be allowed to do their job properly. And you people are victims of it, too. You know, you're reporters, and I understand a lot of you tend to be on the liberal side.
Well, it's true. And everybody knows how bad the crime is, but they do the same thing in Memphis as they're doing in Washington and other places. They're saying, no, crime is actually down. It's just a perception problem. It's just a great big perception problem. That's what the left would have you believe. Now, the common denominator in all of these stories is that these cities are controlled by Democrats. And these Democrats have been for years now soft on crime. They've cut the budgets of the police departments. A lot of these cities are operating with a deficit of police officers. In some cases, upwards of 1,000 police officers. I think that was the number being cited in Cincinnati. So you've got men and women who just don't even want to be a police officer anymore. And that's a big concern in New York City, where if Zohran Mamdani gets elected, the rumblings are you're going to have a mass exodus of NYPD officers. And the reason why, and I don't blame them one bit. I mean, could you imagine putting your life on the line every single day? You got to go out there and you got to deal with these people. I mean, it is insane. Over the weekend, I just had to stop. I had to turn off my Twitter feed. So many videos, whether it was a Carnival Cruise Line or a Chuck E. Cheese or Popeyes or wherever, it was insane, the level of violence. But I will say this, over the weekend, and I shouldn't share this story, but I'm going to because it's important. I will just say there are some places, like whenever I'm in Washington, D.C., I know not to hop into a fast food restaurant for any reason whatsoever, because there's always a scene and it's just dangerous. It really is. And the same thing applies in Memphis, where I you know, if you want something, you go through drive through. You don't stop and sit down and take a breather. Even at a Chick-fil-A, I just don't trust that here in this area. And it's the same thing in New York. Oh, New York City is just as bad. So you always get it to go and then go to the safety of your home or wherever to eat. So anyway, I'm going to Knoxville. I went to Knoxville this past weekend, and I was speaking at the Gun Owners Association of America thing. And I'll talk more about that in a few. But anyway, on the way back, I had a hankering. I don't know why I had a hankering for this, Dylan, but I wanted a cookout burger. And so I pull off, and I forget what town it was in, but it was a predominant. I'm just going to say this because I just have to say it was a predominantly all-white town. All right? So I pull in, and there's a cookout. And it turned out they didn't have the dining room wasn't open. So I thought, doggone it. So then I went to a KFC because I love the original recipe. And again, in Memphis, you just can't, you can't go there. Those are no-go zones. So anyway, I go to the KFC in this town, but their dining room was shut down. So I finally end up, I see a Popeyes, and I'm like, eh. But then I thought, why not? So I went in there. And I felt like I was in Xanadu. I mean, the restaurant was filled. People were having a good time. They were eating their Popeyes fried chicken. Nobody was yelling or screaming or jumping over the counter to beat somebody up, you know, in the fry area. It was like America used to be. And I'm like, what's going on here? So you know what I did? I ordered an extra biscuit and got some more iced tea. I sat there and really enjoyed the scene. I thought, wow, this is what America used to be. I miss that. And I get it. The people in Washington miss it too. And you know why President Trump is doing this? Because he has to live there. And I get it. If I was president of the United States and I had to live in Washington, I would have done the exact same thing. But it's a mess right now, and people are not very happy about this in Washington. So the rank and file are very upset. They had a big rally this morning. And I want you to listen to this woman. And this is one of the big problems. The lady leading this rally cannot speak English. For a second, I thought she might have been a member of our local school board here. She couldn't even grasp the meaning of some words that she was trying to enunciate. Cut 17.
Great. The president has been trying to provoke violence here, right here, in the black communities and in the brown communities, having ICE kidnap our neighbors, having the black community be harassed and profiled and want a response. We say, hell no, we won't go.
Hell no, we won't go.
Hell no, we won't go. There we go.
Hell no, we won't go.
When we say we won't go, that means we're not going into those mass into their prisons and enslavement. We won't go into his beautiful centers that he got. We won't go to where alligators live. Hell no, we won't go.
Hell no, we won't go.
Today we gather to speak plainly about policy paths that sound strong, but in truth, it weakens the very safety we seek. We believe there is a better way to protect us all, one that respects rights to build trust and keep our communities truly safe, and that is fascism-free. Fear is not a roadmap to safety.
What?
It is a burial. It fails hardest on the black communities that already we bear a disproportionate share of surveillance, stops, and forces.
Surveillance. I have no idea what that woman said. So, so look, here's the deal. Even the Washington Post is like, oh my God, this is horrible. Trump's a dictator. They said, this city is safe. There is nothing wrong in Washington, D.C. This city is safe. So I want to read to you from the pages of the Washington Post. And this was how they actually set up their story explaining just how safe Washington, D.C. is. Quote, this is a safe city, but overhearing and witnessing gang threats and then watching the camera footage of the thuggery is disturbing, said one resident, speaking on the condition of anonymity over concerns of personal safety. That's the lead sentence in a story about how safe Washington, D.C. is supposed to be, ladies and gentlemen. Burriers. Somebody get that woman a subscription to Hooked on Phonics. The crowd of teens, he said, were roaming the streets and appeared to be checking for unlocked cars and things to steal. But it's a safe place. Come on down. You know, our good friend, Alan, who used to work at the radio station I own, his family, now Alan and his wife have moved on to Branson, but anyway, his parents were on a vacation to St. Louis, right up the river, and lo and behold, they were out sightseeing, and when they came back, the windows of their car had been busted out in St. Louis. I am telling you, this is a big problem. But I do feel bad for the people in Washington, D.C. who are the innocent victims here. But if you're telling me, and there was thousands of people turned out for this anti-Trump rally in our nation's capital, and I'm just curious, what is their solution to the crime problem? Because everything they have done so far has just made it worse. So I'm glad for President Trump, and I'm glad he's doing what he's doing. I really wish he would focus, though, on other areas of the nation and imagine what the president could do and the impact it would have if he would come and save the good people of Memphis, Tennessee, because we are hurting. And right now, I am telling you, it is entirely political. We have a Republican governor, a mega majority of Republicans in the state house, and they're lifting their fingers to do crap for us. And I say that as a card-carrying donor to the Republican Party. And it bothers me to have to say that. Meanwhile, you do have some common sense people in Washington, D.C. This is Andrea Davis. She is a commissioner of the Washington, D.C. Advisory Neighborhood Committee. Take a listen to Cut 8.
If they're able to do that, then I think there's no problem with that because there are pockets in D.C. that are significantly out of control. We have school zones that are drug-infested neighborhoods.
It's not good. It's not good. Here's a short montage, though, of some local residents. Their reaction to all of this, cut 9.
Some shots, some bangs. We've seen police officers running in all directions.
I almost feel a little desensitized to it in a way because it seems to be of the norm. It's actually pretty scary that these teenagers own guns and that they are in the neighborhood shooting guns.
Yeah, lady, they don't own the guns. They're stealing guns. That's the problem. And again, Washington, D.C. is a gun-free zone. So who is it that has the guns? The bad guys. This is Washington, D.C. as a poster child for everything that's gone wrong. So we'll see how this all plays out here. Don't be surprised if you see on the nightly news, you're going to see people saying, oh, this is like Nazi Germany. They're rounding up all the brown people. No, they're rounding up the criminals. And the fact of the matter is Washington, D.C. and many of our other major American cities have been overrun by savages. Moms and dads are raising. By the way, most of the people causing the mayhem in our nation's capital are under the age of 18. You have moms and dads that are raising their children to behave like savages. That's got to get fixed. And honestly, we need to start holding the parents accountable for this nonsense. All right, we got to take a break here. 901-260-5926. Do you think it's a good idea for President Trump to step in and federalize, take over Washington, D.C.? 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. A major retail chain just canceled a massive order, leaving MyPillow with an overstock of classic MyPillows. Now it's your gain. For a limited time, MyPillow offering their entire classic collection at true wholesale prices. Get a standard MyPillow for just $19.98. Want more? Upgrade to a queen size for only $24.98. Or king size for $29.98. Snag body pillows for $39.98 and versatile multi-use pillows for just $12.98. Visit MyPillow.com and use promo code STARNS or call 1-800-839-8506 to score these amazing deals. Plus, when your order totals $75 or more, you'll receive $100 in free digital gifts, no strings attached. That's right, premium pillows at unbeatable prices and bonus gifts to top it off. Don't wait. Head to MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506 now. And don't forget to use promo code STARNS to grab your standard MyPillow for only $19.98 while supplies last. And welcome back. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Such an honor to have you with us. And man, we had such a tremendous time over the weekend at the Gun Owners of America Summit in Knoxville. They had about 6,000 people there. It really was, I think, the safest place in America. And just an absolute great crowd, was very well received there, and got a chance to see Congressman Tim Burchett. We had a good conversation backstage. You know, he got kicked by his horse. Burchett's got a farm out in East Tennessee, and he was trying to swat a mosquito or a fly off the back of the horse, and the horse got a little out of sorts, and the whole thing was captured on video. So he's like, come over here, I got to show this to you. And I'm watching. I'm like, holy cow, he just got nailed, broke a couple of ribs, but otherwise he's doing pretty good. Congressman Andrew Clyde was there as well. So I was in pretty good company. I got a chance to see several of our great sponsors, Old Glory Bank and Patriot Mobile, both had big exhibits. And the best part of it all, our good friends from Patriot Talk 920 in Houston, Matt Velasquez there, Michael Wilson, the great morning show host, and we had a chance to hang out and fellowship, and it's always an honor to visit with our great affiliates. And during the book signing, got a chance to meet so many of our great listeners from around the country. And one of the things that really struck me about the Gun Owners of America, they are the no-compromise gun rights organization in this country. And I can't tell you how many people used to be members of NRA, and now they have joined our friends at GOA, Gun Owners of America. I would encourage you to go and check them out. But one of the things, I was wandering around, and they had like special groups and exhibits and displays for like lady shooters and for hunters. And I was talking to the guy from Wyoming. And he was telling me that one of the things they're trying to do is register hunters to vote. He told me that in some states, 50% of hunters do not vote on Election Day. Well, that's a big problem. And so they're working very hard to get people registered. And again, if you are concerned about your rights being taken away from you, and especially if you're a Second Amendment supporter and you're not registered to vote and you're not going out there to vote, well, you are part of the problem. So you've got to get out there and you've got to do your part by registering to vote. And that was really the message I was bringing to the group. Is that, hey, we've got to stand up and we've got to fight for our rights. So anyway, thank you so much for the great hospitality there at the Gun Owners of America Summit. All right, we've got to take a quick break here, folks. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Health insurance rates are surging in America, leaving millions without affordable options. If you're sick of having paychecks eaten up by healthcare costs or dealing with mega corporations, then listen to this. Christians don't need to waste money on a broken system. That's why I want to tell you about Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's an alternative to traditional health insurance at half the cost. With CHM, fellow believers contribute monthly to help pay each other's medical bills. There's no enrollment period, so you can join anytime. And you aren't restricted to provider networks, so you choose the doctors and hospitals you want. It's that simple. CHM is not insurance. It's a ministry that puts faith into action. Feel the difference of financial support and biblical care from fellow believers. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/wellness. That's chministries.org/wellness.
All right, just got an email, a complaint from a caller. Should we do this for the mailbag? I think we should. Why not? I mean, you know, we pay for the music. May as well use it. We do have some correspondence from the beautiful state of Georgia. Or as they call it in Guatemala, Georgia. This is from Keith, listening to us on WDUN. Tell Todd to get his panties out of a wad. If he doesn't like the way Memphis is, he should run for mayor and stop crying about it and do something. Oh, well, it's rather short and terse. Keith from Georgia there. For one thing, Keith, just a notation for you. My panties are not in a wad. Thank you very much. And my job is not to run for mayor. I think I would be a pretty lousy mayor, to be honest with you. My job is to convey facts and information so that people can make educated decisions for themselves. I'm not crying about anything. But what I am saying is that when you've got Republican leadership in a place like, for example, Nashville, and yes, Memphis is the bluest part of the entire state, and you've got, I believe you have a responsibility as a governor or a state lawmaker to take advantage of every law on the books to intervene. So if the local Democrats aren't going to be doing anything, you've got the obligation to do that as a leader, as the governor of the state of Tennessee, or at least ask President Trump to intervene. That's all I'm saying. So thank you. And ladies and gentlemen, as we often do on this program, we read the good, the bad, and the profane. Well, we had to bleep those words. But anyway, Keith, thank you for keeping it clean. All right, 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. I was off the grid this weekend because I decided to drive to Knoxville. And may I just say something? You can kind of tell which truck drivers out there, the guys driving the big rigs, which one of them are English-speaking and which ones are not. And there are a lot of non-English-speaking truck drivers out there. Anyway, also saw a guy in a Chevy Camaro, and he was bound for Memphis for Elvis Week, and the guy had his car decorated with, like, Elvis stuff. And I glance over, and I just saw a guy who was representative of larger Elvis, and he had the sideburns growing, and they were pretty impressive sideburns. So anyway, so when I got back home, and I was just catching up on the emails and text messages, someone said, "Starnes, have you seen the stories about Cracker Barrel?" And I had not seen the stories about Cracker Barrel. So Fox News had a huge piece, and a lot of other outlets around the country. Apparently, customers are in an uproar because of the new makeover. You know, they did a modern day makeover of Cracker Barrel, and apparently it's not going over very well with the Cracker Barrel faithful. Here's a report from NBC's The Today Show.
For over 50 years, Cracker Barrel has been serving up a slice of rustic country to suburbia.
Homestyle cooking brings family together.
Between the rocking chairs, the old-timey gift shop, and those biscuits and gravy, Southern comfort has always been on the menu.
Here at Cracker Barrel Old Country Store, we keep our routine so you can get out of yours.
But a new change to that nostalgic routine is stirring the pot.
Store, look around. Wow, look how bright it is.
A select number of stores undergoing a redesign for a more modern feel.
We've got all new lighting, new seating, new tables and chairs.
This video is from a Tennessee location posted last August, just now going viral. While some are embracing the change,
the paint color is just so much lighter, and I think it's so much better.
Others argue the remodel chips away at that southern charm.
But the inside remodel, Cracker Barrel for real, you're losing your feel.
While Cracker Barrel has said only about 30 of its 600-plus restaurants will get a full remodel, in a statement the chain says feedback from both guests and team members has been overwhelmingly positive, adding the strong performance of these locations affirms that we are moving in the right direction. In an interview last summer, Cracker Barrel's CEO telling CNBC the transformation is part of a multi-year brand refresh.
Our goal is to take what people love about Cracker Barrel and open the aperture a little bit so that more people love Cracker Barrel. So we want to appeal to all generations.
Cooking up a new look is all the rage. Denny's, Popeyes, Burger King, all getting modern makeovers. With sleek exteriors, brighter dining rooms, and high-tech features like these self-service kiosks in Burger King's newly remodeled Sizzle stores.
You don't want to eat somewhere where the carpet is from the 1980s. The look and feel of a restaurant, because the customers are spending money going there, is vital.
Across the country, restaurant chains have been struggling, with Hooters, TGI Fridays, and Red Lobster all filing for bankruptcy in the past year. A recent survey also found nearly 70% of consumers say they're eating at home more often.
We have all of our great decor here.
While Cracker Barrel tests a refreshed look, industry experts say it's a gamble catering to changing appetites without leaving a bad taste in the mouths of loyal customers.
I love to go somewhere where the food is good, but the atmosphere has to be good, too. Because I don't want to eat somewhere boring.
Yeah, I've seen the images. I haven't been to one of the newly redesigned Cracker Barrels, and I'm curious to know if you have. And if you have, I would love to hear from you, and I'm curious about your experience. Because most of the reviews, and we've got almost 1,000 people that have left reviews over on our Facebook page, they're not good. A lot of people are just really upset. They miss the old country charm of Cracker Barrel. And I haven't been in a very long time, to be honest with you. I stopped going. You see, I knew Cracker Barrel was going woke, and I could see it coming. They introduced that plant-based sausage on the menu. That's got no place in a Cracker Barrel. Cracker Barrel was founded in Lebanon, Tennessee, right outside of Nashville, and it's just good old country cooking. Good old country cooking does not include sausage made out of cauliflower. I'm just telling you. And I knew it was bad. And so then what happened? After it was a slippery slope. After they introduced the plant-based sausage for the vegetarian people, they started serving booze. And the reason why they had to serve the booze is because that's the only way you could wash down the plant-based sausage. I'm just saying. So anyway, Mark says, Todd, I thought about stopping at my nearest Cracker Barrel, decided to just pass by it, didn't even look at it. Kevin says, Todd, I was in a Cracker Barrel in Kentucky, and they still smoke inside. So this is one of the funny things about Cracker Barrel. You know, they had half of the dining room is smoking back in the day. Half was smoking, and the other half was non-smoking, and they divided the two rooms with lattice. So, in other words, the entire room was a-smoking, but it added to the ambiance. Wendy Joe says, Todd, it all started to go downhill when they removed lima beans from the menu. Is that true? Is it? I mean, someone said, Karen says, Todd, it's about as smart of a move as the new Coke. I'm with you. Greg says it looks like a Bob Evans. Joe Lynn says, Todd, they don't even have baked sweet potatoes anymore, at least where we live. Many times ours said it was they were out of whatever we tried to order that day. But it does seem like a common theme, right? Everything is just bland and corporate. It looks like a Chip and Joanna Gaines fixer-upper gone bad. Just kind of boring. Ho-hum, if you will. Angie says, this is how you kill a successful business. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. So anyway, I'm curious to hear from you. Have you been to the Cracker Barrel? And is this going to be, will this redesign, this makeover, make you more likely to go back to the Cracker Barrel? I'm just going to say no. And I will say this. The food is not as good as it used to be. I don't know what happened, but something changed. And something tells me that a lot of the stuff they're serving is not actually made at the restaurant. In other words, it's just stuff that's made somewhere else and shipped over and reheated. But that's just me. Anyway, I'm curious to hear thoughts on that. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Speaking of bad taste in your mouth, this story from USA Today. An ice cream company is now offering breast milk flavored ice cream. Frieda, the parent company of Oddfellows, which is a small batch ice cream company based in New York, have released a limited number of breast milk flavored ice cream pints. This is true, Dylan. I'm not making this up. This is terrible. Taste it for yourself. That's what the caption reads on Frieda's post showing a tank truck with breast milk ice cream emblazoned on the sign. So here's what to know about the breast milk ice cream. Is it really made of breast milk? To address the elephant in the room, they say, no, it's not made of real human breast milk. So what are they doing, milking a goat? What are we talking about here? The flavor of the ice cream is supposed to mimic the taste of your mother's breast milk. You okay over there, Dylan?
This is so disturbing.
So here's what's in the breast milk ice cream. Milk, heavy cream, skim milk powder, sugar, dextrose, egg yolks, invert sugar, something called guar gum, salted caramel flavoring, honey syrup. Oh, here we go. It's cow. It's fresh from the cow's teat, if you will, along with yellow food color. The breast milk ice cream is, quote, sweet, a little salty, smooth with hints of honey and sprinkles of colostrum, which tastes just like it came from, well.
I wonder what baby they put on that council to decide this flavor of ice cream.
I'm not sure. This is all disgusting. But it also features that special yellow tinge. So for that last bit of authenticity. The flavor is available at pop-up events in Dumbo, Brooklyn, New York. Free scoops will be offered between noon and 1 p.m. daily. Yum, yum. Anyway, trying one's breast milk is not a new concept. Several celebrities have had viral moments of their own, including the Kardashians and someone named Coco Austin. This widespread love for breast milk is what inspired the ice cream flavor. That's according to the company. I'm going to be that's a hard pass for me, ladies and gentlemen. Let's go to the phones. Barbara in Tennessee, listening to us on WTJS. Barbara, talk to me about Cracker Barrel.
Hey, good morning. First-time caller, long-time listener. I love your show.
Thank you.
Never thought that this would be the hill I would die on here. But we live very close to Jackson, Tennessee. Went into Cracker Barrel the other day, and I'm like you. There's something different about the food, especially the gravy, the white gravy. Mm-mm, don't like it anymore. But we ordered something very simple. I ordered, I think, two pancakes and bacon. My husband ordered about the same thing. It took us 45 minutes to get our meal. The waitress looked like if she could have cared less. And when we did get it, it was cold. So we were not very happy, to say the least. And this is still with the old decorations. So my husband emailed Cracker Barrel Corporation when he got home, and they were supposed to send us like a coupon or something. But we pretty much told the lady at the checkout that we wouldn't be back the service. I mean, if there's something going on and there's a reason for it, fine. But she asked us, did you order something complicated? And I said, not in my world. Pancakes and bacon are pretty simple. So I agree with everything everybody said, and if they change the decor, I don't know what will happen.
Yeah, someone said, you know, on our social media page, they say, you know what, we went for the feeling of nostalgia. If I want Denny's blah, I'd go to Denny's.
Exactly. It's just our waitress never came back and said, sorry, it's taking so long. There were people that were sitting on either side of us that got their meal quicker than we did. It was just unexplainable, really. I don't know whether it's, I guess since COVID, they're having a hard time finding people to work as waitresses. I don't know. But her attitude combined with the cold food that took 45 minutes, I don't think that's acceptable. Do you?
No. No, I don't, Barbara. But I got to tell you, you know, if you're going to be eating, you know, a good Southern meal like that, you should have just gone over to the Old Country Store in Jackson, Tennessee. So, which?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah,
exactly. Love that place. We were just, you know, thinking we'll run in there, get a good meal, and you know, an hour later we're like, no more. So anyway, like I said, I love your show. Big talk radio fan, but you're the best.
Well, and, Barbara, thank you for that.
Well, you're very welcome. And as I try to tell people, you know, people from West Tennessee are very educated. I try not to sound like I'm, you know, I am Southern, but I try not to sound like I'm country Southern. So I try to tell people from other places, please come to Tennessee. One of the friendliest places you'll ever be, and there are places that do serve good food that have good service. Cracker Barrel's not one of them in Jackson anymore. It's sad, too. And there were, like, 20 tables that were empty, and we had to wait 15 minutes.
Wow.
So nothing makes any sense. So if you're going to pay in this day and time, it's like used to. You could go somewhere and eat for $15, $20. Now it's more like $40 to get bare food. So anyway.
My goodness. Well, Barbara, thank you for calling in. Don't be a stranger. And I hear you on that. And there is a lot lacking in restaurant service around the country. I will say this. I was so impressed with my experience at Popeye's Fried Chicken, wherever I was in East Tennessee. I actually went back over the counter and I left a tip for the staff there. I said, thank you. That was actually an enjoyable meal. And that's one I haven't had in a very long time. So anyway, I'm very thankful for that. All right, we do have to take a break here. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Health insurance rates are surging in America, leaving millions without affordable options. If you're sick of having paychecks eaten up by healthcare costs or dealing with mega corporations, then listen to this. Christians don't need to waste money on a broken system. That's why I want to tell you about Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's an alternative to traditional health insurance at half the cost. With CHM, fellow believers contribute monthly to help pay each other's medical bills. There's no enrollment period, so you can join anytime. And you aren't restricted to provider networks, so you choose the doctors and hospitals you want. It's that simple. CHM is not insurance. It's a ministry that puts faith into action. Feel the difference of financial support and biblical care from fellow believers. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/wellness. That's chministries.org/wellness.
All right. Well, the drive-bys in the media are losing their minds right now. How dare Trump stop crime and tease? Who does he think he is? Sending the National Guard? Who does he think he is? That racist, race baiter, orange man? Who does he think he is? Well, it turns out that all of these folks were very happy when President Biden dispatched the National Guard to Washington, D.C. I didn't have any problems then. So we'll play some audio coming up in the next hour of the program. And again, the police department in Washington is run by a DEI hire by the name of Pamela Smith. Pronouns unclear. And the police chief, more concerned about handing out safe sex kits during D.C. Pride Month than actually doing her job. Now, this woman, no longer in charge. Donald J. Trump is. All right, got to take a break, ladies and gentlemen. More coming up, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Americans have a big healthcare problem. Over 100 million U.S. citizens carry medical debt, but that's not the whole story. With health insurance, your out-of-pocket and monthly costs are way too high. You get surprise bills, denied claims, and poor customer service. That's a serious burden. As Christians, we don't have to pay for a broken system. Christian Healthcare Ministries is an alternative to health insurance at half the cost. You can enroll at any time and join a proven faith-based solution that's both reliable and affordable. CHM isn't just help, it's financial and spiritual support when you need it most. Families across the country count on CHM to step in during their hardest moments, and it works. Stand up to health insurance with a low-cost, biblical solution. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/wellness. That's chministries.org/wellness.
Live from the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us, that's right, I love this American.
Yeah, hello everybody. Welcome to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. What an honor to have you with us today. We are watching the mainstream media lose their ever-loving minds because President Trump finally stepped up and said, you know what? This is insane. This is our nation's capital, Washington, D.C. It should be one of the most beautiful, one of the most pristine, one of the safest places in America, and yet it is not. So the president earlier today held a press conference. He announced that he was federalizing the Washington, D.C. Police Department. They are now under the control of the federal government. The president also announcing he's sending hundreds of National Guard troops into the city. And the whole point of this is that Washington, D.C. is a war zone. Now, the mayor will tell you, no, it's not, that the crime stats say otherwise. Ladies and gentlemen, I just have to call it like I see it, and this is a load of fertilizer. And it's not even grade A fertilizer. But every major city that's controlled by the Democrats, they tell you that it's just a perception problem, that crime is really on the way down. And that's what they're trying to say in Washington, D.C. But when you talk to the rank and file, the average person who lives in D.C., they know how bad it is. But here's the problem, and this is just the reality of the situation. Most of the crime is being committed by young black youths. And many of the people who live in Washington are young white liberals. And the young white liberals don't want to go out there and acknowledge in public that there is a big, big issue with black crime because that would be privilege on their part. They don't say anything. And so now it's become so bad that President Trump has had to step in. Cut number 11, please.
I'm announcing a historic action to rescue our nation's capital from crime, bloodshed, bedlam, and squalor, and worse. This is Liberation Day in D.C., and we're going to take our capital back. We're taking it back under the authorities vested in me as the President of the United States. I'm officially invoking Section 740 of the District of Columbia Home Rule Act. You know what that is? And placing the D.C. Metropolitan Police Department under direct federal control, and you'll be meeting the people that will be directly involved with that. Very good people, but they're tough. and they know what's happening. And they've done it before. In addition, I'm deploying the National Guard to help reestablish law, order, and public safety in Washington, D.C., and they're going to be allowed to do their job properly. And you people are victims of it, too. You know, you're reporters, and I understand a lot of you tend to be on the liberal side.
But you know what? They are victims just as much as everybody else is. They don't want to admit it. And I will tell you this. All of them up there, how dare he? Who does he think he is? That's what they're saying, right? In their little powwows and their confabs. But internally, they're like, thank God. Thank the good Lord. God bless you, Donald Trump. They won't ever admit that. But that's what they're thinking. Because, look, let's get real. Even a Subaru driver has a right in this country to be able to go out after a lovely night out in the town and still have their car there in one piece. I'm just saying. So anyway, some locals are very upset about this, and they're saying, oh, shame on Donald Trump. He's acting like a dictator. Cut seven.
We have home rule for a reason.
Because if it's safety and crime the president is worried about, Green has some thoughts to add to his agenda.
Or is he going to come pick up our trash next? Is that what I should expect? We do have areas with high grass that he can cut. I have infrastructure problems in my community. Can he put some funding on the table for that?
He shouldn't be making those kind of decisions. That's more like a dictator.
Gotti thinks that if this is the way the administration is going to continue,
everybody now is in like a big old gumbo pot. You know what I'm saying? You don't know what's in it. You know what I'm saying? That's all. You don't know what you're going to get served.
You know, it's interesting. The guy there complaining, well, you know, not only do they have a high crime problem, but apparently City Hall isn't doing anything about the grass. They're not doing anything about the dilapidated housing. They're not doing anything about the conditions of the streets. So it seems to me this guy just made the argument for President Trump to come in and give Congress control of Washington, D.C., which is, by the way, how it was done from day one and how it was meant to be from day one. I'm just saying. So, ladies and gentlemen, do you think this is a good move that President Trump is making here, stepping in and taking control of our nation's capital? 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. We're going to be talking more about this on Newsmax tonight at 5 o'clock Eastern. Want to encourage you guys to tune in and watch the Todd Stern Show. Newsmax, of course, going public on the New York Stock Exchange. And millions of people just like you are joining our news revolution, which is why we are just behind CNN, ranked number 4 in the cable news channel wars. Reuters says we're one of the top news brands in America now. Also want to invite you to join and download the free Newsmax app on your smartphone or TV and start watching today. President Trump, a big fan, and you should be too. So get the free Newsmax app. Also check out Newsmax shares on the New York Stock Exchange. For that information, go to NewsmaxInvest.com. That's NewsmaxInvest.com. All right. Another big story we're following, President Trump meeting with Vladimir Putin. Heading out to Alaska later this week. Zelensky may or may not be there. I'm not sure it really matters one way or the other. But it looks like we could be reaching an end to the hostilities between Russia and Ukraine, which is a great thing. One of the things I love about this president, say what you want to, but this is a man of peace. This is a man who has never gotten the United States involved in a war. It is a wonderful thing. And I say, God bless you. God bless you, Mr. President. So we'll see how all that plays out. But again, President Trump has him talking. And I'd rather have those two talking than shooting at each other. I'm just saying. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Kristen writing in on our Facebook live feed. Man, you guys are really active today on the socials. Todd, at the Trump rally in D.C. the day before his inauguration, I did not see a single police officer in a sea of tens of thousands of people who waited up to 10 hours in line to see Trump. Not one. I witnessed a medical emergency and a fight, but police were nowhere to be found. Why wouldn't the mayor of D.C. assign officers or National Guard to be president and monitor these long lines? I felt incredibly unsafe in that city, and that's saying something because I live in Memphis, the most dangerous city in America. It's a fair question. Absolutely a fair question. and one that deserves an answer. But at this point, it's a moot point because President Trump is in charge of Washington, D.C. right now, and it is driving the media insane. Now, just a little while ago, they were talking about this on MSDNC. Let's take a listen.
Already getting reaction from D.C. council members.
We are, Pamela and Wolf. This coming into CNN from council member Charles Allen of the 6th Ward in D.C. His post is, quote, the president taking over local control of MPD and putting the U.S. military onto the streets of D.C. under the guise of public safety is wrong. It's an extreme, outrageous, and dangerous move for our city and the safety of all of our residents. He's the first city council member to react to this whole thing. None of them had reacted really last week to this in any real measure. This is the first time a city council member has reacted and come out strongly on this. We're also reaching out to Mayor Muriel Bowser's office and the office of the Metropolitan Washington Police Department for their response. We started to reach out to them while this news conference was going on. No word back from them yet. The mayor has been fairly muted in her comments on this. She did speak out yesterday in an interview, but did not openly criticize the president for this. It's an extraordinary move. We have to point out, never before in American history has a U.S. president taken over control of the Metropolitan Washington, D.C. Police Department. How is this going to work on the streets? How is it going to work from a command and control standpoint? That is a huge, huge question. And, of course, his threat to do this in other cities, we'll see how that plays out. I think you got to see how it really plays out here first.
So MSNBC invited the mayor, Muriel Bowser, to come on, and they were trying to bait the mayor, and I've got to give her some credit here. She did not take the bait. They're alleging, MSDNC says, this is all about race. Wow, that Trump, he's just a plantation owner. He just wants to enslave the good black folk there in Washington, D.C. I see. He wants to have them picking cotton there in Lafayette Park. I see. Cut number 12.
One of the things that we have seen over and over from the president, from his team, you know, Stephen Miller saying it's like Baghdad and Ethiopia, they seem to hold their harshest criticism sometimes for cities that are majority black and brown. Do you see that, and what do you think that means?
I think that I have been dealing kind of with this issue for a number of years. It's kind of easy fodder on the campaign trail. But now we're talking about governing, and my job is to focus on making sure our city is running well, and people enjoy a great quality of life. And I think we're doing a really good job. We do need the federal government's help, as I mentioned, because they have an outsized influence on our criminal justice system. We need more prosecutors. We need more judges. There are other ways to help. Even we want to rebuild our jail, and there are ways that the feds can help with that. But also just doing their part, cutting the grass, fixing the fountains, making sure that federal law enforcement is doing all of the policing that they can do. And I just have to say thank you to MPS, FBI, ATF, who've always worked cooperatively with us, and we expect that they will again.
All right, there you go. So that is the very latest from Washington, D.C. Meanwhile, the USA Today, in a piece written by Sarah D. Wire, President Trump and his administration are considering reclassifying the devil's lettuce as a less dangerous drug. According to the president, the saying, quote, we're looking at reclassification. We'll make that determination over the next few weeks. 45 states have legalized the use of marijuana for medicinal or recreational use, but the federal government still classifies it as a Schedule I drug. In 2022, Biden asked HHS and Drug Enforcement to review how marijuana is scheduled. Now, reclassifying marijuana would be the biggest change in marijuana policy the government has taken since the drug was first outlawed. It would not make recreational usage legal under federal law. Marijuana has been a Schedule I drug defined as believed highly dangerous, addictive, and without medical use. All of that since the Controlled Substances Act was signed in 1970. Now, the thought process here is they will reschedule marijuana as a Schedule III drug. It would be treated the same way as Tylenol with codeine. which can be prescribed by licensed healthcare providers and dispensed by licensed pharmacies. President Trump said the decision is complicated, weighing the benefits of marijuana use for medical reasons against potential societal impacts. Some people like it. Some people hate it. Some people hate the whole concept of marijuana. I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this, and especially if you are a business owner, because I was hearing reports, especially out in Colorado, where the businesses out there, the business owners, are just having a hard time finding people that are sober enough to do their jobs. Many of them are smoking weed all the time now, and it's really causing a problem in a number of different areas, especially trying to find 7-Eleven clerks, from what I hear. But I will say this, the last time I was in New York City, you get off that subway and it smacks you upside the face. The smell of marijuana is so bad, so pungent in New York City that you get contact high just walking down the street. I mean, one minute I'm walking down the street, the next minute I'm dipping into a bodega to see if they can sell me some Funyuns. And I'm not a big fan of Funyuns. Got to take a break. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Health insurance rates are surging in America, leaving millions without affordable options. If you're sick of having paychecks eaten up by healthcare costs or dealing with mega corporations, then listen to this. Christians don't need to waste money on a broken system. That's why I want to tell you about Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's an alternative to traditional health insurance at half the cost. With CHM, fellow believers contribute monthly to help pay each other's medical bills. There's no enrollment period, so you can join anytime. And you aren't restricted to provider networks, so you choose the doctors and hospitals you want. It's that simple. CHM is not insurance. It's a ministry that puts faith into action. Feel the difference of financial support and biblical care from fellow believers. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/wellness. That's chministries.org/wellness.
All right, let's head over to Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Mike is listening to us on the great WSJS. Hi, Mike. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Todd, you're talking about the marijuana making it legal for recreational use. The biggest complaint I got, we travel a lot and we'll go out of town and you get, like you said, New York City, you can't walk anywhere near those without smelling it from people smoking. They should make it to where you can't consume it in public, right? Because why should a family be out going out to an event and then you got to walk by all that stink, you got your kids inhaling it, secondhand smoke. I mean, you can't stand on a corner drinking a beer, so why should everybody else have to be subjected to smelling that stuff? You know what I mean?
You know, it is an interesting thought, and it's a problem. I'm just telling you, it really does. I don't know what it is. I find that to be more abrasive than even, say, cigar smoke or cigarette smoke. It's just so pungent.
And you're going to get the effects of it as well to a point, you know what I mean? It's not good for anybody. You want to do it, then do it in the privacy of your own home like anything else, but not out on the street where it messes everybody else up. Yeah.
Look, there's some I drive around a lot, and I was stuck in traffic somewhere in Memphis, and I rolled down my window for just a minute, and I got a contact high. I don't know who was smoking a joint, but it was terrible.
It's ridiculous. Now, we were in Ireland at a pub, you know, talking to the bartender, some other people in there. I don't know if it's legal there or not, but I was like sitting there and said, you could smell it on the street. And the bartender was like, oh, I know what that is. He stepped outside and then, I don't know what he did. And then I guess he shooed the person off and they were gone. You didn't smell it no more. It was like they weren't tolerating it either.
Is that right? You know, I'm curious, though, from like business owners, if that's a big problem, you know, workers coming to the office or coming to the job site and they're high on marijuana.
Oh, yeah. I mean, how's it any different than being drunk, if you think about it, you know, and just driving a car? And every time I drive down the road, you put the window down, you get it blowing out of somebody's window. And it's like, well, what are they going to be like driving? It's bad enough somebody on their cell phone, but then they're trying to text after smoking that stuff. You know, how dangerous is that?
Let me tell you something. You're not kidding about that cell phone. I was stunned by how many people were driving, you know, 80, 90 miles an hour. And they're texting while they're driving on the interstate. I'm like, sweet Lord. Yeah.
It used to be defensive driving. Remember, they teach that. And now, like, my younger nieces and nephews, as they're learning to drive, I'm pointing them out, saying, all right, you see what that car is doing? Watch him. He's, you know, too far on the lane or this or that. You got to dodge him. Either slow down or speed up way past him. And if you get pulled over for speeding, just say, hey, I was, this idiot on his phone was, couldn't even stay in the lane 30 miles an hour in a 55. I mean, that's more dangerous than me trying to get away from him.
Unbelievable. Mike, look, I appreciate the call. We got to skedaddle for a break. I'll say this, right outside of Nashville, I was on I-40, heavy traffic, and you had two guys in Dodge Chargers, and it was clear they were racing on the interstate, dodging in and out of traffic, doing at least 90, 95 miles an hour, right outside of Nashville. What are you going to do? And meanwhile, the highway patrol, they're going to pull over the guy doing, you know, 65 in the 60. That's my luck. All right, hang tight, everybody. Got to take a quick break here. 901-260-5926. Good calls today. That's 901-260-5926. We'll be right back.
Health insurance rates are surging in America, leaving millions without affordable options. But Christians don't need to waste money on a broken system. Christian Healthcare Ministries is an alternative to health insurance at half the cost. With CHM, fellow believers contribute monthly to help pay each other's medical bills while lifting one another in prayer. It's financial and spiritual support when you need it most. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/wellness. That's chministries.org/wellness.
Dylan, I know you're a big sports guy. Did you have fun at the FedEx St. Jude Championship last week?
It was so much fun. Yeah. The crowds were amazing and the weather was, it's hot, but it was good.
Huge turnout, and I think the winner got over $3 million. Justin Rose was the eventual winner there.
Yeah, and I came to learn a lot of these players' names. I know they're all good, but Justin Rose, he seemed like he was pretty consistently at the top most of the time. So.
Were you and Parker, Parker May, our sports guy, were y'all able to see Scheffler?
Yes, that was like one of the ones he wanted to show me. So like we walked probably like a mile just to go see him play one hole and then just followed him through the rest of it. So
I got a question for you.
Yes.
Football season right around the corner. How do you feel about male cheerleaders?
It's sometimes disturbing to see male cheerleaders.
So here's the thing. Those are sometimes just – those guys can be just as athletic as the football players. You know,
they're extremely strong.
I mean, they got to be upper body strength – really upper and lower body because you're throwing these girls up into the air and you're catching them or you're forming the base of whatever kind of a pyramid or whatever thing they're doing.
Yep.
So you got to be – you know, you have to be physically fit for that. So I don't necessarily have a problem with that. I think that's really more gymnastics than cheerleading.
Yes.
I think we're obligated to say, and we believe on the Todd Starnes radio show, that cheerleading is a sport. I think we're required to say that.
Are we?
I don't know. I don't want to get hate mail. So anyway, the problem, I think, are the male cheerleaders who act like they're female. You know what I'm talking about?
The non-athletic type?
Yeah.
They're still athletic, but they're...
Yeah.
Like,
ready, let's go.
With the megaphones?
Give me a fight, 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 boys. It's a little off-putting. Just a smidge. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm not judging here, right? So I'm just saying if, you know, there are some male cheerleaders that sort of are over the top and behave very very girlishly.
And if you're in the crowd and you're seeing, you're hearing that, really, are you getting pumped up?
Okay. Or? Let's just say you've got the Eagles fan. All right, you're a big Eagles fans. All right. And they're some of the most violent fans in all of professional football. They booed and heckled Santa Claus, for goodness sake. So, you know, they've got that's their shtick, you know, that's their brand. I'm just wondering, let's just say that you've got like, I don't know, five or six of your buddies and you're in your mid 30s and you know, you're there and you got the beer guts and you're huge football fans, and you're right there on the front row. Do you really want a grown man gyrating in your face? Dylan, what say you? I'm just...
If no, well, I would see a beer bottle being thrown. Maybe.
Yeah.
One or two.
And we're not advocating violence or anything. I'm just saying there's, you know, there's a certain level of expectation. And the ladies, and I'm not painting with a broad brush here, right? I would say the ladies, they tolerate going to the football games because they want to see the football players. And the men, they go to the game to watch the game and during commercial breaks, enjoy the scenery of the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders, for example. I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, it's all part of the thing. It's all part of the game day experience is what I'm trying to say. So this headline really cracked me up. Minnesota Vikings fans are raging. This is the actual headline. Minnesota Vikings fans are raging as they threaten to cancel their season tickets over male cheerleader. And this guy, his name is Blaze. That's his God-given name. And it's Blaze with an I, as in B-L-A-I-Z-E. Okay. And he's a male cheerleader. He's also a dancer. And it's kind of like the male, you know, and again, it's just, it's a little different. You don't see it every day. It's kind of like when you're, you know, when you're in high school and they have the marching band, and then you've got the flag corps people out there. Whatever they call them?
The color guard.
The color guard. Yes. Thank you. That C-O-L-O-R guard. Mm. The color guard. And they're out there. They've got the, yeah, and that's mostly a female responsibility.
Yes.
So it's a little different. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying it's a little different when you've got dudes out there doing that.
It gives me the exact same feeling.
Okay.
Especially when I was involved in it.
And there's no, wait, you were on the flag?
I wasn't in, no, no. Oh. As a band, I was a trumpet
player. Oh, you were the, so that's a guy's position in the band. Oh, jeez.
Guys,
I'm stepping in it again.
Yeah.
I'm just saying there's nothing wrong with that. It's just a little unusual. That's all. So, Blaze, who is the newest member of the Minnesota Vikings cheerleading squad, is creating headlines. While a male football cheerleader is hardly a novelty, Blaze's role is different. He is expected to perform the same dance-based routines as his female teammates, which is leading to the gyrations. His inclusion on the Vikings roster, pardon me while I read this to you, this story from Newsbreak, his inclusion on the Vikings official dance roster is part of a seemingly growing trend where teams such as the Los Angeles and New Orleans Saints have welcomed males into their cheer squads. The Vikings celebrating gender equality. That's what they believe this is all about. B-L-A-I-Z-E, Blaze. The new cheerleader is not part of a separate stunt or co-ed like the men seen in college cheerleading. So they're making him behave and move just like the women. I think that's the issue here. Because if you're watching college cheerleading, the guys are the guys. And then the girls are the girls. So they've got like, woohoo, and then we're here, ladies. So in case anybody falls or, you know, they're there to perform manly tasks. That sounded weird, but bear with me. So anyway, one person writing, I don't think the problem is male cheerleaders. They have existed forever. Nobody wants a man pretending he's a female cheerleader. Is that true? I am curious to hear your thoughts on this. One person said, canceling my ticket, I don't want this to be in the NFL. So I guess it is a problem. The reading on here, the Vikings have long been advocates of inclusivity and community engagement. As such, Blaze, is that how you say, I'm trying to figure out how to say the name with the I in the middle of Blaze. Blaze.
Blaze?
Blaze? I'm blazing. I'm flaming. Wait a second. That's a bad choice of words there. My apologies. Anyway, Blaze is expected to appear at home games, promotional events, and local outreach programs. I'm just wondering how the folks down at the senior center are going to react when Blaze shows up.
The only way that I would be concerned, if he was in like the front line, if he was in the front of the pack, If they put him in the middle.
Oh, he is right smack in the center.
That's
He is the star. Yeah, he is meant to be the featured attraction.
And that's not how it's supposed to be.
No, at all.
I'll stand on that.
All right. I think that's a fair way to look at it. According to this piece, it remains to be seen whether fans will actually cancel tickets. But even that's not easy, as NFL teams typically don't issue refunds for personal reasons. Well, I think not wanting to have a guy's private parts jiggling in front of your face during halftime is a pretty darn good reason. I'm just saying. Anyway, Blaze is very excited about this. And he was writing on the socials, which I think is what started all of this out, talking about what a big honor it is to be a part of the crew. Blaze with an I. So there you go. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Is that a good enough reason to cancel your season tickets to the Minnesota Vikings? Or could it be they just have a lousy team? No, I think they're supposed to have a pretty good team this season. I was listening to ESPN a couple of days ago and caught a little bit about that. Anyway, that's the very latest from the world of the NFL. It does make you wonder. It does indeed. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Oh, the other big story, and this is sort of fascinating, is that for the first time in Major League Baseball history, Dylan, we have a female umpire. And her name is Jen Paywall, P-A-W-O-L, Paywall is her name. And very first pitch, right out of the gate, and she botched the call. So a lot of people not very happy with the very first female umpire in the major leagues. Also, there's more concern over the WNBA. This is sort of like our sports segment. I didn't plan for it to be like this, but there are there's still a lot of controversy surrounding the male appendages that have been hurled at basketball players. So the question is whether or not they're going to be erecting netting around the basketball court to prevent the said objects, neon in color, from being able to land on the floor. There's a lot of concern that they might possibly penetrate the netting and then land on the floor. Golly gee, I have just stepped in it. You know what? Dylan,
you're going to get kicked off the air.
It's only Monday.
Way too early in the week.
It really is. So anyway, if nothing else, that was the only reason why there's been an uptick in viewership on the the WNBA games. It is what it is. I mean, People Magazine is even involved. I mean, this thing has reached national, dare I say international, level of news coverage. But now they're searching. Police are now looking for another man who threw a toy at a recent New York Liberty game, and it struck a 12-year-old girl in the right leg. This is according to Crime Stoppers. So normally Crime Stoppers, at least, you know, where I'm from, it's all about, you know, murder, carjackings, not getting dinged by a dog. But, you know, it's a different world in New York. Let's go to Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. That's Redneck Vegas. Frank is on the line. Hi, Frank. What's on your mind?
Hi. I appreciate you tucking my call.
What can I do for you, Frank?
Yeah, you know, here in America, what alarms people all across this country so much, it alarms me. You know, people can't seem to figure out why the population of the Caucasian are going extinct at a high rate of speed in America. You know, everyone's got a pet cat and a pet dog. There's nothing wrong with that. But there's a reason for it.
And they don't want to bring people in this country because you, the route the United States have went. And we're trying to figure out why white Caucasian people are so hated in the United States of America. And it's gotten really bad. You walk into all these restaurants and you don't hardly see a white person anymore. And it's very alarming. But anyway, I called Tim Burchett this morning, and I told him, I said, we'd like to see him run for Bill Lee's term is coming to an end, and he can't really run another term. And we told Tim Burchett, says, we'd like to see him run as the governor of the state of Tennessee. And I told him, his associates, I was talking to them, I said, we nicknamed Tim Burchett Big Balls. And we'd like to see him run for governor.
Well, I like Tim Burchett. He's a good friend of mine, and he actually filled in on this show one time. And I think he would make a fine governor, fine senator. I think he's got he's not done just yet with politics in Tennessee, Frank. So yeah, I like him. As far as the premise of your call. With white people not having babies and whatnot. Yeah, I do think that's a problem. But I believe that we ought to be judging people by the content of their character and not necessarily the color of their skin. Unfortunately, we live in a society that believes in the exact opposite of that. Do I know why white people are not procreating at the levels of other races? I do not. I do know that many guys in America may be turned off by, you know, overweight purple-haired women with nose rings and those little things hanging out of their nostrils. What do they call those things, Dylan?
Septum rings.
Septum rings. Thank you. Mm. The cows wear them.
They do.
So that may be, that may be something, but I think we need to have an emergency. I think that people ought to be having babies. I mean, that's why God created marriage and family is so that we could procreate. And maybe we should have some sort of an emergency conclave with the Catholics and the Mormons and the Duggar folks because, you know, they all have big families and maybe they could come up with, a TV commercial? I don't know. Not another reality show. I don't know. Frank, thanks for calling. 901-260-5926. No, the Mormons, they have a lot of kids. You know, Dottie and Marie. The Hansons, Mbop, you know, I'm just telling you. 901-260-5926, this is the Todd Stern Show.
Americans have a big healthcare problem. Over 100 million citizens carry medical debt while paying for overpriced and complicated health insurance. As Christians, we don't have to pay for a broken system. Christian Healthcare Ministries is an alternative to health insurance at half the cost. Plus, you can enroll at any time. Stand up to health insurance with a biblical solution. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/wellness. That's chministries.org/wellness.
And welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. What an honor to have you with us today. Coming up in the next hour, our good friend Steve Gill is going to drop by. He has a lot of national news stories we're going to take a big look at. Also, a story, we'll give you an update. This is a terrible story out of near Pittsburgh where at least one person has died. Many other people are trapped. This happened at a U.S. steel plant, the Clairton Coke Works near Pittsburgh. There was a massive explosion. And there are many people that are trapped in the rubble. It just happened before noon Eastern. Senator John Fetterman of Pennsylvania says there is an active search and rescue underway. And he says dozens of people have been injured. So we certainly want to offer our thoughts and prayers there. That's just incredibly dangerous work. And especially if you're working in some sort of a plant, whether it be a steel plant or a chemical plant, you just never know when things are not going to go well. Hey, folks, just want to remind you, this weekend we had a wonderful time meeting so many law-abiding gun owners at the Gun Owners of America Summit and got to sign a lot of copies of the book. We brought Twilight's Last Gleaming and Star-Spangled Blessings, and I want to encourage you to get yourself a copy of both of those books, and you can do so right now at Amazon. Twilight's Last Gleaming is the story of me talking to President Trump and interviewing him about what we can do as citizens, because the America First movement is going to continue long after President Trump is gone. So we need to be equipping ourselves, educating ourselves right now so that we can carry on the fight once President Trump leaves office. And of course, Star-Spangled Blessings is just a wonderful collection of devotions about how God is using amazing patriots and the most unusual people to advance his work here in this country. You can get both of them at toddstearns.com. You can also get them at Amazon. All right, hang tight, everybody. Hour three of The Big Show coming up next.
Health insurance rates are surging in America, leaving millions without affordable options. But Christians don't need to waste money on a broken system. Christian Healthcare Ministries is an alternative to health insurance at half the cost. With CHM, fellow believers contribute monthly to help pay each other's medical bills while lifting one another in prayer. It's financial and spiritual support when you need it most. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/wellness. That's chministries.org/wellness.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Hour 3 of The Big Show. Great to have you with us today, wherever you might be listening. And, of course, the big story today, President Trump announcing earlier today that he is federalizing the police department in Washington, D.C., and he's going to start cracking down on crime. So our telephone number, 901-260-5926. Let's go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line and say hello to our good friend Steve Gill from Nashville, Tennessee. He is publisher of the TriStarDaily.com. Steve, good to have you with us.
Thanks. And it's just sad that we can only federalize the Washington, D.C. police, not 10 or 12 other cities, blue cities that desperately need it as well.
You know, that is a frustrating thing. Look, I get it. It's the nation's capital, and it ought to be clean. It ought to be safe. I get that. But the reality is there's a lot more happening, and there are so many people that are living in these very dangerous cities.
But, you know, D.C. is unique in that it is actually, for the most part, federal territory. So we can expand this control over D.C. that we can't do over Chicago and San Francisco and Detroit. But hopefully this will spur the leaders in those cities, and more importantly, the voters in those cities, to demand action locally to make their streets, their communities safer, because they're the ones having to live in the ravages of crime because their leadership will not act.
Steve, right now I was watching a video of the Washington Mall, the National Mall, where members of the Drug Enforcement Administration are actually patrolling the National Mall right now, and it actually looks very safe. I see people out jogging, strolling around, and not a single homeless person or drug addict in sight.
You know, police presence makes a difference. Todd, as you and I have talked before, when seconds count, the police are minutes away. They can't help that, but they have to arrive after a crime occurs in most cases, put up the yellow tape, figure out what happened. If they're already in these locations, it means criminals will decide, okay, maybe not today. This is too dangerous. I'm going to get caught. It prevents crime, and that's really what we want.
You know, it's interesting, Steve, as you and I are talking here, the narrative coming out of the mainstream media and the Democrats, this is from Richard Stengel, who is a former Undersecretary of State in the Obama administration, also an editor at Time, says crime in D.C. is at a 30-year low. It's not even the top 10 dangerous cities in U.S., throughout history, autocrats use a false pretext to impose government control over local law enforcement. you know, the reality, and we've seen this in multiple cities across the country, they're saying, oh, no, crime is down. It's just a perception problem.
Well, we hear that in Memphis and other cities where they want to deny that crime is occurring. But when you look at the fact that they fail to account for a lot of crime, or they downsize the crimes that they report, it's easy to make things look safer by not reporting crimes. Or when judges dismiss the criminals without any real prosecution or imposing any bond, you can make the numbers look better than they are, but the citizens in those communities know. They see it, they feel it, they experience it, and people in D.C. have been experiencing it for way too long for these folks to deny it.
And just a couple of weeks ago in Washington, you had a D.C. police commander who was suspended. He's been accused of changing crime stats. So they got caught cooking the books in Washington, D.C., and I suspect it's really how they are reporting the crime numbers to give the impression that crime is on the decrease.
Well, and we've seen that in other cities, and that's, you know, that's the real scandal, that they make things look safer because some of the biggest cities that we have don't report their crime statistics to the FBI. So you can claim that violent crime nationally has gone down because some of the major cities simply don't report it to the FBI, so it doesn't make it into those national statistics. We need to have transparency. We need to have honesty. And the best place to get the truth, go ask the police officers on the streets in these cities whether crime is a real deal. And again, they've taken a back seat in many cases to being as aggressive as they can in enforcing the law because they'll be blamed. And they know that when they prosecute, you know, arrest a criminal offender, get them down to the jailhouse, before they finish filling out the paperwork, some liberal judge is going to have that guy out on the street while they're still filling out paperwork. Ask the cops. They'll tell you the truth.
Steve, another story we've been following is the situation in Texas where you had a number of Democrats. They fled the state. They're protesting these efforts to redistrict by the Republicans. And what I find fascinating is many of them went to Chicago. And, of course, Illinois is the most gerrymandered state in the nation. And what, 40% of the state voted for Trump, and yet they only have, what, two or three Republican districts? I mean, that's insanity. But the point is, nothing's happened, right, in Texas. Nothing has happened.
Well, and some of these districts look like a Rorschach test. Now, all I see is vanilla ice cream. So whatever you put in front of me with a Rorschach test, I'm going with ice cream. But these drawings where they've gone, I know in Texas there's one where they literally, the Democrats designed it, they go down the interstate from Austin to San Antonio. There's not a voter in it for miles and miles. They're just trying to connect two areas where they have Democrat voters together by driving or literally drawing the line down the interstate. And you've got states like Massachusetts where Republicans get votes, but there is not a single member of Congress from Massachusetts and several of these other states. They've been doing this for a long time, and now they're squawking like stuck pigs when Republicans say, fine, if we're going to be in a fight, we're going to finally fight back.
Yeah, and we've got to do that. And I hope that the good people of Texas, you know, really hold their elected leaders accountable here. They've got to. And Steve, I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this. What do you think about other red states following through and doing what Texas is doing?
I think they should definitely do that. And I think that, again, we've got a lot more squeeze to get out of the lemon or the orange than they do. They've already dramatically gerrymandered their wins in states they control. We have plenty of space to pick up 10, maybe 15, maybe as many as 20 if other red states will simply do what the Democrats have done, and that's, you know, parity. It's what President Trump's had to do with tariffs. We've been in a trade war internationally for a long time. We just haven't responded. And we've been in a gerrymander war with the Democrats for a long time. Republicans just haven't responded until now. And there are two other things the Democrats have to be concerned about. If we do the census accurately, and even the census declares that, yeah, they misdid it by 10 Republican districts, we pick up 10 seats if they just run the numbers that they already collected accurately. And if we take the illegals out of the mix, Republicans may pick up another 10 seats above that. So between redistricting, between gerrymandering, and getting the accurate census details, Republicans could pick up 20 seats before we get to the midterms.
I love it. And again, I think we ought to do it if we've got the ability, because, you know, Newsom is going to go in there and start targeting the Republicans. And so is Hochul in New York. So we've got to fight fire with fire, in my estimation. Steve, real quick, you've got a great story up at TriStartDaily.com. There's a huge battle that's starting for the Republican nomination for governor in Tennessee. Senator Marsha Blackburn, Congressman John Rose. How are things looking in the early days of the campaign?
Literally, the primary is a year from now, almost exactly to the date. So we've got a long way to go. Marsha Blackburn has a significant name recognition lead over John Rose. John Rose has been a congressman. She's won election twice statewide as a U.S. senator. She's been in Congress. She's regularly on Fox and getting media coverage during her 25-plus year career in politics in Tennessee. John Rose has served in Congress in a Middle Tennessee district for about 6 or 8 years. So she has a huge name recognition advantage, but he is independently wealthy, and he has already put $5 million of his own money into the race. He can put another 5 or 10. So he's going to be able to buy name recognition and close that gap. My advice to him would be to do it sooner rather than later, because you don't want Donald Trump to look at these polls and think, oh, she's way ahead, it's over, I'll endorse her. He needs to close that gap sooner rather than later to keep President Trump on the sidelines.
That's a fair point, and name recognition is a big issue. Of course, Senator Blackburn earned fame in the state of Tennessee because as a lawmaker, a state legislature, she defeated the state income tax. And, of course, you were a part of that big effort on the radio.
Yeah, we had the horn honkers, as they were called at the time. Before the Tea Party, there were the horn honkers in Tennessee who literally circled the Capitol and honked their horns to force the legislators to listen, even when they didn't want to hear the voices of Tennesseans. And she was a big leader in that fight. I think that she's got great credentials as a legislator, both in the state legislature, in the Congress, in the Senate. I think what John Rose is going to try to focus on is he's been the agriculture commissioner for Tennessee. He's an eighth-generation farmer. He's, you know, signed, as he says, the front of checks rather than just the back of checks. He's going to push his business credentials and argue that that's really what a governor does more than what a legislator does. And it'll be up to Tennesseans over the next year to figure out, when they're looking at the resumes of these two candidates, who they prefer to hire as governor.
All right. Great stuff. A lot of ground we covered. Steve Gill, you can find more information at TriStarDaily.com. That's TriStarDaily.com. All right, Steve, appreciate it.
Thanks, Todd. Talk to you soon.
All right. Good guy right there. A lot of ground to cover. But, you know, I want to go back to the redistricting for just a moment here. And I think that Republicans need to – Republicans, you guys need to play the exact same game the Democrats are playing. And if you are in a majority red state and you've got control of your legislature and the governor's office, you better believe you ought to go in there and start redistricting. If the Democrats are going to do the same thing, and this is an opportunity for Republicans to take control and maintain control for a number of election cycles. So the question is, are the Republicans going to have the stomach for this sort of a fight? So our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. I want to play some audio here. This is from an actress and podcaster. Her name is Jennifer Welch. She's got a mouth on her, I'll tell you that much. Woo, the language. Anyway, she's very upset at all of you white Trump voters. And in her mind, her warped, distorted liberal mind, Miss Welch says that all you white people should not be allowed to eat at Mexican or Chinese restaurants anymore. She says you should only be allowed to go to Cracker Barrel. Take a listen.
I've had it with white people that triple Trumped.
Yeah.
That have the nerve and the audacity to walk into a Mexican restaurant, a Chinese restaurant, an Indian restaurant, go to perhaps their gay hairdresser. I don't think you should be able to enjoy anything but Cracker Barrel. And if you want to triple Trump and you want to browbeat DEI and you want to browbeat gay people and you want to browbeat black people as you've been doing for 400 years. And you want to browbeat this generation of immigrants that come over here and open up businesses earnestly, pay their taxes. You want to demonize them and call them rapists and felons and all this shit, when the felon is the teeny weeny mushroom piece of Kankles McTaco at the top of the ticket. I have had it from top to bottom. White people that triple Trump should be banned, boycotted from enjoying the best thing that America has to offer, which is multiculturalism. Get your fat asses out of the Mexican restaurant. Get your fat asses over to Cracker Barrel, because nobody wants to see smug ass, teeny weeny, pink arm, big gut around. Nobody wants to see that. No one.
Language, ma'am. Jeez, hello. No wonder she's single. Nobody wants to date somebody with a mouth like that. Clean it up, lady. Potty mouth, dirty mouth woman. So I'm confused here. Why can't we eat at the Chinese restaurants? I love the sweet and sour pork. It's delicious. The fried rice. What was that? She said triple. Are you triple Trumped? That I believe that means you voted for Trump all three times. So if you're triple Trumped, yeah, count. I'm a triple Trumper myself. But so she's saying that we can't go to Mexican restaurants, and we're not allowed to go to Chinese restaurants. And what is this about gay hairdressers? Pardon me here, Dylan. I don't mean to overstep, but it sounds like she's stereotyping people. I'm just saying. I mean, what did she mean by gay hairdresser? The next thing you know, she's going to be suggesting that NFL teams have male cheerleaders named Blaze. Oh, wait a second. We'll be right back.
Americans have a big healthcare problem. Over 100 million citizens carry medical debt while paying for overpriced and complicated health insurance. As Christians, we don't have to pay for a broken system. Christian Healthcare Ministries is an alternative to health insurance at half the cost. Plus, you can enroll at any time. Stand up to health insurance with a biblical solution. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/wellness. That's chministries.org/wellness.
All right, we've got Chuck Schumer's former policy director, and he's on Fox News right now. Jim Kessler is his name, and he is shaming all of you who don't feel safe in Washington, D.C., and he says that you need to leave your fears someplace else, telling Fox News if people are afraid to come to D.C., go to Disney World, get fat, eat French fries. The guy said, I've lived here for 37 years. I'm not afraid. I live in the city. I'm not afraid. All right. Good for you, sir. Still, I would suggest that you might want to carry. That's my recommendation to everybody. Learn how to use a gun. Get your permit and learn how to use it. Hey, here's Judge Jeanine just a few moments ago, and she is fired up.
I see too much violent crime being committed by young punks who think that they can get together in gangs and crews and beat the hell out of you or anyone else. They don't care where they are. They can be in DuPont Circle, but they know that we can't touch them. Why? Because the laws are weak. I can't touch you if you're 14, 15, 16, 17 years old and you have a gun. I convict someone of shooting another person with an illegal gun on a public bus in the chest, intent to kill. I convict him. And you know what the judge gives him? Probation. Says you should go to college. We need to go after the D.C. Council and their absurd laws. We need to get rid of this concept of, you know, a no cash bail. We need to recognize that the people who matter are the law-abiding citizens, and it starts today. But it's not going to end today, because the president is going to do everything we need to do to make sure that these emboldened criminals understand we see you, we're watching you, and we're going to change the law to catch you. And my final note is this. These kids understand that the jurisdiction is through the state attorney general, Brian Schwab. I did a poster of the young man from Doge who was beaten bloody with a severe concussion, a broken nose. And then I did a poster of what happens to those kids, because I can't arrest them. I can't prosecute them. They go to family court and they get to do yoga and arts and crafts. Enough. It changes today. Thank you, Mr. President.
Wow. Yes, things are going to change in Washington, D.C. No doubt about that. And they need to change. And maybe, just maybe, we're going to be able to start getting crime under control in a lot of other cities. You should be able to go to Chicago and Los Angeles and New York City without worrying about getting mugged. All right, 901-260-5926, our telephone number. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Health insurance rates are surging in America, leaving millions without affordable options. But Christians don't need to waste money on a broken system. Christian Healthcare Ministries is an alternative to health insurance at half the cost. With CHM, fellow believers contribute monthly to help pay each other's medical bills while lifting one another in prayer. It's financial and spiritual support when you need it most. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/wellness. That's chministries.org/wellness.
You know, I was wondering what's going on in Houston. You guys, what is it? There was a judge down there, Judge Hidalgo. And Judge Hidalgo spent more on security in 2024 than every other member of the commissioner's court combined. This is according to records obtained by the Houston Chronicle. According to their reporting, Judge Hidalgo, who is a raging far-left lunatic, spent over $903,000 for security personnel. That's more than half of the amount budgeted for all five members of the commissioner's court. Now, all four members of the court's Democrat supermajority were allotted six-figure security budgets. That's insanity. You're talking about millions of dollars in taxpayer money that's being provided to these elected leaders for security. What I find fascinating is there's only one Republican on the commission. His name is Tom Ramsey, Commissioner Tom Ramsey, the lone Republican. He did not spend a single penny on personal security in 2024. And it seems to me if you're from Texas and you're an elected official, you should be able to take care of yourself. I'm just saying. So anyway, the 2024 security expenses by official, you had, is it Lena or Lina Hidalgo? I don't know the first name. $903,000. Rodney Ellis, $387,000. Adrian Garcia, $150,000 or $57,000. And Leslie Briones, $116,000. The only guy who didn't spend a single penny was the Republican, Tom Ramsey. Now, it kind of makes you wonder, what in the world are the good taxpayers of Houston, Texas, thinking here? This is absolute insanity. According to a spokesperson for Hidalgo's office, given Judge Hidalgo's national profile and high public visibility, she uses security detail for the protection of her and her staff. When it comes to safety and security, the cost of inaction far outweighs the cost of prevention. So it makes you wonder, okay, well, what could that money have been used for? Other than, I mean, security, that's insane. So who is suffering as a result of all of this? Somebody's not getting almost $2 million of taxpayer money because it's going to provide personal private security for Ms. Hidalgo. According to the spokesperson, we have a duty of care to elected officials, to staff, to the public, and to the broader community that would bear the consequences if something were to happen. While we do not disclose active threats or operational details for safety reasons, the threat of political violence is real in today's climate. Well, let's get real for a moment. The only people that are being impacted by violence in the political world are, in fact, Republicans. Republicans, ladies and gentlemen. Republicans, not Democrats. The Democrats have been the ones out there stoking up the mob. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926, our telephone number. A school district is under fire for hosting a drag bingo fundraiser. Cut number 15.
The decision to cancel a drag bingo fundraiser for the Child Advocacy Center of Greater Rochester has many folks in the community torn. Some support this decision, saying drag doesn't belong in Rochester, while others say this decision allows for hate to win.
Ignorance, unfortunately, won, and that really saddens me.
Ed Popel is the mind behind Mrs. Kasha Davis, the drag persona known best from RuPaul's Drag Race, and the variety of events she hosts around town. She was slated to be the face of the Child Advocacy Center of Greater Rochester's Drag Bingo Night, raising money towards their mission of empowering families and preventing abuse. But due to opposition voiced on social media, the organization canceled the event.
The negativity that happens online is really prevalent. I get hate messages on a daily basis. And unfortunately, this is not news. This is not something new. And so my thought was, let's just continue on and do the event. And the decision was made based on those comments online and some other things that might have been happening in the organization to cancel the event.
In a Facebook post shared with News 8, one person appears to describe why they are against the event, saying, quote, "When you host a drag show and invite kids under the banner of a charity that claims to fight sexual abuse and pedophilia, you've crossed a line so severe it undermines your entire organization," end quote. Popel, alongside many others, believe drag can be for everyone. He says this bingo event was planned with all ages in mind.
Drag as an art form will have a variety of styles that some would be appropriate for children and some would not. And so just like any other art form like music or theater, these things happen.
Since announcing the cancellation of Drag Bingo on their Facebook page, the Child Advocacy Center has turned off the commenting feature on their post. Popel believes conversation is crucial in understanding drag and sees this decision as problematic.
We need to have discussions. We need to have conversations about these things. And there's a place for everyone on this earth. And, you know, ultimately, if you didn't want to attend a drag bingo, all you had to do was not show up. You didn't have to get hateful online.
Leaders of the Child Advocacy Center say in a response to this decision, quote, "The decision to cancel the event was not made lightly. It was based on a number of complex factors and concerns, including the potential for the conversation around the event to overshadow our core focus, the children and families we serve. We serve them with compassion, dignity, and respect. We deeply value the support of individuals and groups who share our commitment to building a safer, more inclusive community," end quote.
All right, so that's the reporting out of Rochester, New York. I have a very simple question. And when it comes to these kinds of issues, look, if you are a grown adult over the age of 18 and you are engaged in something like this, knock yourself out. It's America. I may not support it, but you know what? That means I'm not going to go and watch it. All right, but you do you. But when you introduce something like that to young children, then that's where I have a problem. And the issue here is there's something else going on. It's not just entertaining. These are grown men dressed as women, and they're dancing very suggestively, very provocatively, and it's always for the children. They're always wanting to be around the children. My question is why? And that's a question. You know, I wrote about this in my book, Twilight's Last Gleaming. There's a chapter in the book that addresses this issue. You know, we're not really addressing the main question, which is why do children need to be exposed to this? Do we, and I suspect there would be great outrage if we were going to say, for example, invite a bunch of strippers to say, okay, we're going to invite the children over and we're going to come over to, I don't know, Trixie's Hideaway. And we're gonna have a kids' night so the kids can learn how to pole dance. And I would like to think that there would be people out there in America who would say, you know what? I got a problem. I got a problem with that. I'm just saying. So anyway, do I have a problem with the drag queens? No, it's America. If you want to put on a pair of size 16 stiletto heels and dance around in a feather boa, it's a free country. I'm just saying, why do we have to bring the five-year-olds or the four-year-olds or the three-year-olds? And again, if you know you want to have a drag queen story hour, okay. But why are you so focused on children? Why not go down to the senior center? And why don't you read to the senior adults? They never do that. Have you noticed? Again, we're not judging here. I'm just saying something is very strange about all of this. All right, we've got to take a quick break. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Americans have a big healthcare problem. Over 100 million U.S. citizens carry medical debt, but that's not the whole story. With health insurance, your out-of-pocket and monthly costs are way too high. You get surprise bills, denied claims, and poor customer service. That's a serious burden. As Christians, we don't have to pay for a broken system. Christian Healthcare Ministries is an alternative to health insurance at half the cost. You can enroll at any time and join a proven faith-based solution that's both reliable and affordable. CHM isn't just help, it's financial and spiritual support when you need it most. Families across the country count on CHM to step in during their hardest moments, and it works. Stand up to health insurance with a low-cost, biblical solution. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/wellness. That's chministries.org/wellness.
And welcome back, everybody. Great to have you with us on a busy News Monday. Don't forget, 5 o'clock Eastern, the Todd Stern Show on Newsmax. We will also have a live report on Elvis Week. Thousands of Elvis fans in town. As a matter of fact, Caleb Park from Newsmax is in Memphis, and he'll be broadcasting from Beale Street later this afternoon. There is a wonderful story about Elvis, and we're going to try to share some of those stories with you as we move through through Elvis Week. Isn't it amazing? And I'm curious to get your thoughts on this. Why is it that a man who died in the 1970s is still so relevant and still maintains a fan base to this day? I mean, it's really amazing to see so many people who aren't even alive when Elvis was at his zenith. And yet the fan base is young, it's exciting, it's energetic, and you have a lot of people from all over the world that are here in Memphis for this special 9-day celebration of Elvis Presley. But I'm wondering why, what is it about Elvis Presley that impacted the culture here in America? Anyway, one of the things about Elvis was his incredible generosity, and he really was a kind-hearted man. And one of the people that he helped, her name, Magnolia Smith is her name, Maggie Smith, and they had a unique friendship and professional relationship. I want you to take a listen to her story.
He was going to the Pontiac Place one day, and just as he got to the door, a little black girl, a young black girl, was coming out of the door, and she was crying, and he grabbed her arm, and he said, "Hey, honey, what's wrong with you?" And she said, "Well, I want a car, and they won't sell it to me." He said, "What do you want a car for?" And she said, "Well, she had to have a car to go to school, and she needed a car to get to work, and she was looking for a job." So he took her back in the Pontiac Place, and he bought her the car. And he said, "Now, you be at Graceland at 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, and you have a job there." So Maggie's job was to go to Graceland every day at 4 o'clock and sit at the kitchen table and do her homework. She was enrolled at Memphis State to do her homework, answer the telephone. And he wanted to see her grades every quarter. He paid for her schooling. He paid for her car. You know, he paid her a salary to sit there and answer the telephone so she would have a job that she could go and study.
And she did. And she went on to become an executive assistant to Elvis from 74 to 77. And she did, you know, like a lot of the Elvis entourage did, a little bit of everything. But I thought it was really interesting that this young woman, he had complete stranger. And here she was, a college student, and she was wanting to get a car. They wouldn't sell her a car. They met at the just in a very random situation. But went on to become good friends, and she got a regular paycheck signed by Elvis, and her only job was really to study and to focus on her homework. So, again, just a really touching story, and we're going to share some other great memories, and I know a lot of our listeners out there, especially in the Memphis area, you guys probably have those Elvis stories to share. Because he was, you know, here in town, a much beloved person. At the end of the day, he was just a regular fellow Memphian. And it was not unusual to see Elvis riding around town on his motorcycle and just hanging out at the pharmacy or the drugstore or wherever. So anyway, great to have so many fun folks in town this week for the Elvis Week celebration. 901-260-5926. Is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. You know, it's interesting. We were talking about this. Gosh, what was it? Last month, month before last. The summer's been flying by. And a lot of people were really concerned about the Epstein files and how that would impact President Trump with the average American. Well, it turns out if you're not on X, it's really not that big of a deal after all. Cut number six.
I would say that this is, from at least a political point of view, quickly turning into a dud of a story. What am I talking about here?
Which is wild.
Which is wild. Which is,
this has been for 3 weeks.
Exactly. Take a look here. Google searches for Epstein down 89% versus just 3 weeks ago, falling through the floor. It is no longer the top term searched alongside Donald Trump's name. That's been trading off between Taros and Vladimir Putin, with obviously the meeting coming up later this week. But at this particular point, the American people's interest in this story, it's quickly becoming something of a nothing burger.
So out of sight, out of mind, maybe, is applying here a little bit. But has it impacted? Have you seen numbers that have impacted Trump's popularity, favorability, anything?
No, not really. I mean, take a look here. Let's take a look at the overall numbers. Trump's approval rating in July of 2025, it was 45%. It's still well within that margin of error here at 44%. And you compare that to where he was in his first term at this point, he was at 37%. So he's 7 points higher, very much in a different political universe now, significantly higher in terms of his overall approval rating than he was at this point in his first term. And more than that, among Republicans, his approval rating is near a record high, hovering right at about that 90% mark. So no, he hasn't lost any of that base. And when it comes to that center of the electorate, he's basically holding on there, and his overall approval rating, 44%, is pretty gosh darn good for him, considering where he was at this point in term number one.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. So it's not that big of a deal to average Americans. And I'm not surprised. Again, the president, you know, said they were going to release whatever information they could. I don't think that's ever going to happen. I really don't. I think the administration is moving on. Clearly, the media seems to be moving on as well for whatever reason, and you can speculate there. But I think the broader issues now, as we move towards the midterm elections, and this fall it'll start kicking into high gear as people begin to campaign, the issue is going to be all about redistricting. And I also suspect the issue is going to be about Russia collusion. J.D. Vance, the vice president, over the weekend talking about how he is expecting a number of high-profile indictments that would lend credence to, say, a Hillary Clinton, James Comey, and John Brennan getting indicted, among others. So we'll see how all of that plays out as we move towards the fall. But again, I wouldn't expect too terribly much right now when it comes to the Russia collusion and getting some resolution there. And if we do get resolution, I'm okay with that. I think that will be a massive thing, because people really do need to pay for what they did to Donald Trump. They've got to. they've got to. We can't allow something like that to ever happen again in American history. We just can't do that. By the way, folks, I want to remind you, if you haven't already done so, to download my free app. This is a great way. If your local radio station doesn't carry the show, you can download the app and you'll be able to listen to the Todd Stern Show wherever you are in America. It is free of charge and takes like 3 seconds to download. Go to toddsterns.com and just click on the app button at the very top of the page. Also want to remind you, if you haven't done so, we have a daily newsletter that comes out once every morning. Get a copy of that so you'll be informed on stories you will not see in other news media outlets. So we have exclusive content by our team of trained journalists. So I want you to get a copy of our free newsletter. And also, you can download the free podcast. So if you miss any of the show, you can go back and listen. And again, all three of those things, the app, the newsletter, and the podcast are free of charge. We don't charge you a penny for that. We also have a Substack that we have launched. And while you can get a free subscription, we're actually encouraging you to get a paid subscription. That actually helps just cover our cost as we provide you with original journalism and content. That's toddstarns.substack.com. So be sure to check it out. Again, toddstarns.substack.com. All right, folks, we've got to scoot out of here. We will see you tonight on TV on Newsmax, 5 o'clock Eastern. Be sure to check us out tomorrow. We're right back at it again. We've got a lot of great stories to share with you. Thanks for listening, everybody. You be good, America.
You're listening to Leaf Filter Radio, and the guru of gutter protection himself, Chris Cunahan, is here to take your most pressing leaf-related questions.
Hey, everybody. Chris here. I understand we have Ron on the line. Ron, where are you calling from?
Uh-oh. Ron, are you calling from a ladder?
Well, I was. I wanted to ask Chris what I need to do to get my gutters ready to have leaf filter installed.
Oh, Ron, you don't have to do anything. A leaf filter trusted pro will come out and clean out your gutters, realign and seal your gutters, and install leaf filter, America's number one gutter protection system.
So I didn't need to get on this ladder?
Ron, leaf filter trusted pros are in your neighborhood and ready to help. Just visit leaffilter.com/day to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off.
Thank goodness. What was that site?
That's leaffilter.com/day for your free gutter inspection today. See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household.